Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show as we welcome you inside the bunker. Darren DuPont in for Rod is away in Mexico. We got the Silver Fox with us, too, for hour one at least. There's Kelly Ripple. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful.
Happy to have you.
We've been talking off the air, and we finally got to a point where we said we got to stop talking about it and save some of this stuff.
Yeah, we are going to get into lots of it this morning. Welcome to everybody watching on the Facebook feed. We're having a little trouble getting your comments on the wall, our internal screen in the building, but I got you up here in front of me, so I say good morning, James. Good morning, Randy, who's watching from Cochrane, Alberta. Rod's watching from Cabo. He says hola, so good morning, Rod. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Keep Ricky nice and comfortable. I don't know if you need to put him in a cage or if you can pack him in your suitcase to bring him back, but if you saw that on Rod's Instagram page, he's hanging out with Ricky, the iguana. The iguana. It's on his Instagram story, so check that out. You can see him so jealous. He's there on the balcony having coffee, overlooking, you know, the Mexican sights and whatnot. It just looks awesome. I mean, is there a better place to wake up than when it's hot and sunny and you're in your shorts and you have your coffee?
I love Mexico. I'm a big PV guy. I think I like the West Coast better than the Caribbean side. I don't really know why.
Yep.
I just find that I just absolutely love it there. And to your point, when you get up in the morning and you got your coffee and you're just overlooking the mountains or you're just taking a look across that ocean and it's 25 or 26 degrees at 10 o'clock in the morning and that sun's coming. I mean, there's just nothing better. Walking down, my wife and I, one of the things we enjoy doing, Darren, we like to go for those walks. Like you walk for an hour down the beach in the sand and just enjoy it. It's so peaceful and beautiful country, Mexico. I've never been to Hawaii.
No, and me either.
I've heard that's maybe even a little nicer than Mexico, which I almost find hard to believe. But it must be true because that's what a lot of people say. But those hot holidays, getting out of here at this time of year and just relaxing for a week or two.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
Good morning, Brett, who's watching from Saskatoon, and to Paul Drouin, who is watching this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Paulie.
We miss you in
I've
your chair.
I've known Paul for 30, no, not 30 years.
Is it?
25 years.
I don't know if it's insulting or if it's just a sad realization that, you know what? It is Rod's show. It's always dead in here when Rod's not here. Have you noticed that? You've come in a couple of times when Rod's been gone. It's dead. Everybody wants to come and hang out because, I mean, he's the guy, right? But we're going to have fun anyways. It's a little quieter around here, but we got lots to get to this morning. Speaking of vacations, you know, you were just in Mexico. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways. You know, how do you like to enjoy your vacations? Because I know for me, I'm not big on, you know, necessarily going out and partying or doing those types of things in Mexico or even in Vegas, really. But you talk about going for the walks. We had a perfect place. My first ever tropical vacation. I'd never been on a plane as a kid. We always drove out to the West Coast for holidays and it was great. Mm-hmm. We have family out in BC and in Vancouver in the Lower Mainland. So we drive to the mountains, go skiing. But the first time I'm on a plane, geez, I was probably 19 or 20. It had been after we graduated. My brother's a year younger than me.
Just to be clear, that's the first time you ever got on an airplane?
Yes.
You were 20 years old?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. First time I'd ever been on an airplane. I think I was 19 or 20. I must have been 20 because I'm pretty sure my brother was 19. Mom will correct us because she remembers the dates and the years like everybody. But anyways, we're going to go on an airplane. We're going to Cuba. We're leaving on Boxing Day, and we're going to go there over New Year's. First family vacation, hot holiday. And neither of us have been on an airplane. So what are we doing the day before we leave? My brother's watching episodes of Mayday on the Discovery Network. Like, you know, like the plane crashes and all the bad situations, right? And mom's a nervous flyer anyway. Any little bout of turbulence, and she's hanging on, right?
Yeah.
So we leave Regina, get up in the air for about 10 minutes, and then they tell us we got to circle back. They say there's a mechanical problem.
Oh, great.
So we got to circle back, land back down in Regina on the tarmac for 45 minutes to an hour or more. And then we take off, land in Saskatoon, which we didn't think we were going to be doing, to pick up some more people. Didn't get off the plane, just enough time to pick up a few people. And then we took off direct to Cuba. So you're up and down three times, your first time ever on an airplane. So you get the full experience, right? Mm-hmm. Right away. And then it was smooth sailing. But we had a great spot. It was down from where they had like the breakfast buffet and everything else. So every morning could walk out of our place down the beach. And then, you know, it's like a 20-minute walk down the beach right to the thing instead of taking the golf cart or whatever they have. It was awesome, right? It's a great way to spend the morning. I love getting up. And for me, it's not even about, you know, relaxing, getting away from everything. I love working when I'm on the road and I'm on vacation. It's just nice to be out on the deck with your computer, reading or catching up on a few things and just enjoying the slower pace of life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Here's what I find when our family go on hot holidays, and we try to do it every year. We don't always get away every year, but probably two out of every 3 years kind of thing. We go more often than we don't. Well, my wife, Sonia, and I have kind of a little routine because the kids are always still sleeping. Like, they always sleep later than us.
We can't.
I don't know if I could sleep till noon anymore if I wanted to.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we tend to get up, I don't know, 9:30, 9:30, something like that. And we always get up and we always go for a coffee and just kind of the two of us just sit for an hour or so before we're either kicking the kids out of bed and saying, let's get going here, guys.
Yep.
Or they eventually kind of meander their way out. But we always, it takes us a day or two to kind of get the landscape of the whole resort and sort of figure out like kind of where our spot is.
Yep.
So as an example, you know, there's your, you know, you got your beach, you got your pool, you got different little nooks and crannies. So maybe after a day or two, you kind of settle into, okay, when we go to the beach, here's where we want to put our towel and we kind of want to set up shop.
Yeah.
Right? And when we go to the pool, here's kind of where we like to sort of hang out at the pool. Or in the morning when we get up and go for coffee, here's where we kind of like to sort of settle in and sit. And it takes a day or two to do that. And we're kind of 9 day people.
Yep.
I always feel like 7 days isn't, I'm not ready to leave after a week. It's just not long enough. But I don't know that I necessarily want to be there for 2 weeks. That's almost a little too long.
Yep.
So 9 or 10 days is sort of our sweet spot. So we just always find that we tend to fall into a routine. And every day, after about day two or so, you know, kind of when you can you get the landscape of the place, here's where we like to go for breakfast, eggs and toast or whatever. And here's where we tend to kind of go during the day. And then at night, here's where we kind of like to sit and watch the entertainment or, you know, the house band play or whatever. Like, you find that you tend to do the same thing every day. We're not all over the place. Like, we tend to kind of fall into a little routine, and that's where you're going to find us at this time of day or this time of day. I love it. It's just so, and I had a similar story to yours.
Yeah.
I remember and interestingly enough is when we went to Cuba, I used to work at CTV in sales, and we used to take clients that would buy into a trip package. And if we sold six as an example, then we as reps got to go.
Whoa.
So I'm like doing everything I can to sell the, then I get to go, no question, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're on it was minus, now I'm going to make up a number here, Darren, because I just don't remember. I just remember it was mid-30s, like minus 36 or something.
Yeah.
The plane cannot leave if it's minus 36. You can't go. So everybody gets on the plane at 8 in the morning, and we sat on the airplane for 2 hours, and it's stuck at minus 36.
You're just waiting for it to
warm
up.
They're waiting for 1 degree so we can leave. Minus 36. Think how cold that is, by the way.
Yeah.
That's no wind.
That's no wind.
So then it goes to minus 37. So they tell everybody, we're going to be here all day. Go back in the airport. We sat there, Darren, after getting on the plane twice and then having to be told to get off till 3:30 in the afternoon. It got to minus 35 for 4 minutes. one time.
Let's go.
And we were like going, yelling at the captain or the pilot, go!
As soon as it hits 35.
So we all take off and everybody breaks into a pause and it's like, oh man. So instead of getting in at, you know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, we got in at 10 or 11 at night. It kind of sucked, but
The 7-day, 9-day thing, that's an old coaching hack, right? And I don't know who taught me this, but as a coach of the kids, and you coach kids in football and stuff, it's always, you have to end practices or vacation while you still want to be there, right? You almost have to pull the kids kicking and screaming away because their last memory of football practice or baseball is, I just want to play some more.
Yeah.
If you wait till they're ready to leave, their last moment and their last feeling of hockey or baseball or football will be, I'm done.
Or try to end the practice with a fun drill.
They have to be having fun when you leave, so their last memory is fun. Same thing with the vacation. 7 days, you're sitting there like, it's just not long enough. So the whole time, you can't wait to go back. If you leave on your own, it's like, I'm done. Your last feeling will be like, okay, I'm kind of done with that place. Yeah. I need something new.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Good point. Good psychology.
Right?
You're in the wrong business. You should be making a lot more money being a psychiatrist.
Good morning, everybody watching the folks at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. Good morning. Going to try and get up there early on Friday before the Blades game. Maybe stop in for some snacks before the hockey game on Friday night. Good morning, Pat, watching and listening in Winnipeg. Good morning. Love getting the emails, but love seeing you in the Facebook feed this morning. Roxanne's watching. You saw that up on the feed. There's Donna watching as well. So appreciate that. Everybody watching here this morning. And Jeff Luke. Good morning, Jeff, watching in Saskatoon. Good to see you. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Lots to get to on the show today. Here's the show topics that I have today. We'll talk free agency winners and losers. Lots of, what did I say? Trade deadline, Clark tells me. Yes, it is trade deadline. I've got that written down here. So trade deadline winners and losers. That's why Clark's the sharpest producer in the business.
Oh, for sure.
Keeps me on point.
Maybe person. Forget about producer.
Right? Edmonton Oilers. We're going to talk Oilers today, too, when it comes to the NHL trade deadline. They made some moves, potentially the biggest winner of all. That leads into our daily poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center today. Who is the winner of the trade deadline day in the National Hockey League? And your options are this. The Edmonton Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, who secured their 1-2 tandem in net, picking up Robin Lehner. They also secured the back end, Alec Martinez. Carolina was busy yesterday, too. They're an option or other. So Edmonton, Vegas, Carolina, or other. And right now, the Oilers leading the way with 44% of the vote, followed by Carolina at 30%. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Trade deadline, interesting. Matthew Pekka, did you see this? Clark pointed it out. I didn't watch the highlights of the Ottawa game just because simply I'm not interested in the Senators anymore and they're not in the conversation for the playoffs. But Matthew Pekka, newly acquired forward, shows up late to the game, arrives late, gets dressed on his own.
Didn't they have two players that arrived late?
Yeah, I think so. But then he shows up on the bench late into the game, and he's like, excuse me, pardon me, kind of sits down, and everyone's looking at him like, who is this guy? And he's got to now introduce himself to all of his teammates on the bench on the fly. Hey, I'm the new guy. It's like showing up to your buddy's rec team, help him out for a game. Nobody knows who you are, and it's like, who are you? I'm the new guy. I'm Darren. I'm going to, you know, I'm just playing today. And so that's
and
how
they had
gets.
Another guy show up for this in the middle of the second period.
And then he's, but then he goes out and gets his first point as an Ottawa Senator. So that's kind of cool.
That is.
Kind of funny that we go from that right on the heels of having a Zamboni driver play, which we're going to get to.
Yeah, but let me just make one comment. Here's something I'm going to throw at you. I know they're not on the list, but how about the Ottawa Senators? You talk about a team that got a windfall of picks in a rebuild. They hit a grand slam yesterday. Now, when we talk about who wins the deadline, you're usually talking about teams that kind of went for it.
Yep.
They put their chips in and they're trying to add pieces. I mean, I understand that.
Yep.
But if I'm an Ottawa Senators fan, I got to be just as happy today as if I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of being in a rebuild is to get fair compensation or better when you're selling instead of buying. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's one staring me right in the face, but I can't think of a team in recent memory that has ended up with the windfall of picks that they did after a trade deadline. I mean, that guy did an amazing job of restocking the cupboards and adding all those draft picks. And really, they're not going anywhere anyway. So that was a five-star performance by the general manager of the Ottawa Senators. And what they did, I think they have to kind of be in that discussion too.
Yeah.
But well, we always think of the teams that trade four players, not the teams that trade
picks. But it's great that you said that, because I have San Jose listed as on my list of winners of the day, simply with the assets they brought back in for trades. You look at what Doug Wilson did in San Jose. They got a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and they gave up Barclay Goodrow, Brendan Dillon, and Patrick Marleau. So, you know, you're able to move some assets, but bring back some picks. Even though that first round pick is maybe late first round because it's from Tampa, you still get some picks back. You still are able to move some pieces. So and unload some salary too. So that's pretty good for San Jose. So we'll talk winners and losers of trade deadline. The XFL keeps coming up. Derek Dennis has been signed to Team 9 in the XFL, which is the practice roster, so to speak, and he's getting set to sign. Clark, he didn't announce where he's going. He made a tweet about New York, but I don't think that has to do with where he's going. He's from there, right? From the area, or has spent time there. So I want to talk XFL because it's in the news again with Derek Dennis getting set to potentially sign or be traded to one of the teams in the XFL and hopefully get on a roster this week. But it comes back to Keon Raymond's comments in, it was on this show when he talks about the CFL has always just been banking on these new leagues failing eventually. And eventually, one of them's going to get it right. Keon Raymond's in the running for the new CFLPA president. He's campaigning for that. So do we need to be worried about the XFL? Do we need to be worried about any new league coming in threatening the CFL? That's going to be interesting. So I'm going to want your thoughts on that. I want to, you know, put that around a little bit. And in another football-related note, there's a great article from Justin Dunk on Three Down Nation talking about what Hamilton's done throughout free agency. And they've kind of went out and created the first real CFL super team. If you look at what they've done, you know, bringing back all of their key guys, you know, adding different pieces up front on offense. This team was the best team in the CFL last year, and they got even better on paper. So we'll talk about the Hamilton situation and who we think right now early on might be a front runner for you know, the preseason or the off-season power rankings. Where does Calgary fit in? And we talked to Ryan Ballantyne yesterday. He still thinks they're the beasts out in the West anyway. So we'll talk about that and a little bit more. Today on the program, Rich Sutter will join us at 10:30. So he'll come up a little bit later on here in hour number one. We'll talk about the NHL trade deadline. We'll talk about the Calgary Flames. Did they do enough trying to get in the playoffs right now, get back into the conversation, the top three spots in the Pacific Division? I don't know that Calgary did. They made a couple of moves to shore up the blue line a little bit, but I don't know if it was quite enough. But we'll do that. We'll go out to Edmonton and talk to a very happy Dustin Nielsen. He's really excited about what Ken Holland was able to pull off with the Edmonton Oilers.
As he should be.
And they're really excited at Edmonton, so we'll talk about the Oilers coming up in hour two, and we'll talk with James Cebulski from Sportsnet Radio in Vancouver. We'll talk all things Canucks. They've got a little question mark in net with Jacob Markstrom potentially out for some time. I think the MRI is scheduled today. So we'll do all that and a little bit more here on the Rod Peterson Show. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores, and our friends over there, Trent Dickin and the folks at Flooring Superstores, will be right back with more of the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show here on this Tuesday. Darren DuPont with you alongside Kelly Rempel, who's joining me in the bunker today. The Prairie Mobile text line is open today at 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. So we'll take your comments on NHL trade deadline, winners and losers. Most of you right now, the Edmonton Oilers, 44.7% on the daily poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. So continuing to take your comments and questions here on the Prairie Mobile text line and also online or on the Facebook feed as well. But it was a wonderful weekend, and everybody's still talking about the 42-year-old Zamboni driver, Kelly, and you and I were talking about it before we went there, and I said, stop, this is too good. We got to save this for the show because, you know, there's a couple of angles I want to take with this. First of all, you have to understand, I'm a Leafs fan. I have been my whole life, and I couldn't have been happier.
What?
Because I'm a sports fan.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, I mean, you're disappointed because just two big points in a playoff race that's so tight with so much parity, and you need every point. And if you end up 1 or 2 points out of a playoff spot, you're going to look back to this game and be like, that was it. That was your chance playing against a rec hockey goaltender, you know, street hockey. You could, I mean, Tavares scored in his first shot and it didn't even, I mean, he just shot the puck, whatever, along the ice and beat him and didn't even celebrate because he's like, should never score from there, right? On the other hand, I'm a hockey fan and I'm a sports fan. And when this guy goes in and you look at the way Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach of Carolina, was just like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
He wasn't even supporting his guy going in. And then all his teammates are going over, pat him on the back. Don't worry, we got you. You're all right.
Well, what shocked me was the players on Carolina actually got a kick out of it.
They got a kick out of it.
They were all kind of laughing and joking about it, which surprised me.
Surprised me. They need the points too.
Yeah.
And so you sit there and you're like, so now you feel bad for the goaltender. And now you hope he plays well. And then they score on the first shot. And as a Leafs fan, I'm excited. But then I'm like, I really don't want them to light this guy up for 10 goals. I really don't. I'm pulling for him now. So now I'm all in, right? He lets in the second shot on goal. And he didn't have a chance in the second shot. It goes off a defenseman, wide open net. He's out of position. That happens to every goaltender. And then they start playing, right? Carolina, I mean, they came out, they scored a goal as soon as he came in, then he lets in the two. They played their bags off for him, right?
They did.
How can you not love this guy?
Yep.
But you're watching this thing, and, you know, what's going through your mind as you're watching this guy come into the game?
Well, I watched it on PVR, so I didn't watch it live. Not that that matters.
No.
But so he comes in the game when the second goaltender gets his bell.
Mrazek.
Yeah, sorry. Gets his bell rung
by
and his helmet comes flying off. And the first thing I thought
first of
about,
all, timeout. You've already lost James Reimer, who's not playing. You've got a 42-year-old Zamboni driver waiting in the wings. If you're Peter Mrazek, what the hell are you doing?
He's not thinking about
what
that.
What the hell are you doing out by the hash marks, though?
He's not thinking about that, Darren. He's just playing.
As he probably should.
Those guys aren't wired to, like, think about that kind of stuff. He's just spontaneously reacting to a play. But
as he probably should.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But so his helmet goes flying off, and he's sprawled out onto the ice. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. What if this guy can't come back? What if they take him and they do a concussion protocol or whatever they're going to do, and he doesn't pass the test, what are they going to do? Dress a defenseman? Like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they talked about this E-Bug, the emergency backup goalie. And when David Ayers came walking through that tunnel and came out onto the ice, I can't lie, Darren, I burst out laughing. I said to myself, you have to be kidding me when they said that this guy is the Toronto Marlies Zamboni driver. He practices with the Leafs. He's an employee of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
MLSE.
He works for them. But now he's the goalie of the Carolina Hurricanes. And the one thing I picked up right away, though, that this guy's not going to mail it in. He may not make any saves, and he may be the red rotten you-know-what.
Yeah.
But he's not. This guy's intense. Like, he wants to do well.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could see when that first one beat him, he was not happy with himself.
No.
And there was a bit of a screen there, but I think he was like not, he felt he should have.
You know that reaction he had where he's kind of like looking around for like a reason and he's, and the goalie kind of blaming the other people? It's kind of because he knows he's better than that.
Yes.
And slightly embarrassed.
Yeah.
And he's like, look it. This can't.
I'm better than
that. And he died, and the second one went.
He had no chance.
And then he sits down, and one of the defensemen came over and said to him, we don't care if you let in 10. Just have fun and relax. And that zoned him in, and then lights out.
But I thought the same thing everybody did. They're gonna light this guy up for six, right? And but then I noticed something. When they came back and they made it, so they pulled to within one, it was 4-3, right?
Yep.
And then they scored a fifth goal. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't think it's going to happen, but if Carolina gets the next one and makes it 6-3, they have a chance to win with this guy in net.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't really care. I'm not a Leafs fan per se. I'm sure as hell not a Carolina fan. They're one of those teams that are way off my radar. I don't give them a second thought.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me. But this is awesome.
Isn't it?
Like, this is just incredible. And then they made it 6. And I jump off my couch, and I'm laughing my head off, and I scream down in my little man cave downstairs, and I yell at the top of my lungs, they're going to win! They're going to win!
Yeah.
And my wife is like, what? She think I'm yelling so loud that she'd think I'm talking to her or something, right?
Yep.
Said, oh, nothing, just talking to myself. I was fascinated with the whole thing. But here's the thing, Darren, that falls under the radar. And you can understand why it would, right? Mm-hmm. You could completely understand why nobody seems to be talking about this, because it's a lot more interesting to talk about how the Toronto Maple Leafs are so bad that they have such a tiny amount of heart, and they're all of these negative things that they lost to a 42-year-old Zamboni driver. Like, this is rock bottom. Like, that's the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what is a little bit unfair and unfortunate is that the Carolina Hurricanes probably played about as good for 25 or so minutes as I've ever seen a team play defensively. I've never seen anything quite like that. Or if I have, it's been a long time. I mean, these guys were given a third period tied game, seventh game of the Stanley Cup effort in a game in the middle of February. I mean, as much as I kind of agree, it is, you know, let's face it, it's pathetic that the Leafs couldn't win that hockey game. But really, when you stop and think about it, they couldn't get a shot off.
No.
Now, part of that is because they didn't have the heart to do it, and that was a little bit sad. But every single time they got the puck, the Carolina defenseman or the Carolina forward were backtracking like dogs on steak. Like, they literally couldn't get into a scoring lane. I mean, how many times did they shoot the puck, but it never made it there? It bounced off a shin pad, or they were diving and blocking shots. And sometimes those adverse situations bring out the best in people.
Yep.
They know that every time they shoot the puck, it might go in. So guess what? We can't let them shoot the puck. How many shots did they have in that when David Ayers went in? Like I think he stopped, what was it, 8 of 10?
Yeah.
Okay, so think about that. You know you have to shoot the puck every chance you get. If you shoot it from the red line, shoot it. Well, you got nothing to lose with this guy in goal.
Right.
Right? And they could only, in almost half a period, or half a hockey game, Darren, they could only get 10 pucks to the net. So really, you could have put one of those boards, you know, like you go to the outdoor
Mr. Civ
rink.
with the plastic goalie.
It's got the cardboard and it kind of the clamp hooks over the net, and you got the board and you got the holes and the corners, and then there's a little five hole.
We used to use that for street hockey.
They would have won with one of those in, because he didn't have to make actual saves. He just had to kind of turn his body and sort of come square to the puck and just not cough up big rebounds, which to his credit, he didn't do. Right?
Right.
So you got to give him credit for that.
Oh, he played the puck well. He did a lot of things well.
The one that burst made me absolutely, it just ruined me. I was laying in the fetal position, killing myself laughing, was when Craig Simpson said something to the effect of, David Ayers has more shots on goal in this period than the Toronto Maple Leafs, because it was like a minute and a half into the third period, and he actually shot it off the boards and it went all the way down the ice, and the goalie of Toronto had to make a save.
Unbelievable.
When he said that, I was laughing so hard I couldn't stand. There I am by myself, I might add, watching a game on PVR with tears rolling down my face, because I'm thinking the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to lose this game.
Yeah. To an emergency backup goaltender.
Did you read his wife's tweets?
Oh, man. She was so entertaining. We were talking about this yesterday on the show. Oh. She was really entertaining. And so it's been so much fun to watch the story unfold. And I love, you know, if you look at, he lets in those first two shots. And then his first save was really probably, if you need one play to sum up that whole night, that was it. Because his first shot that he stopped was on Austin Matthews. And he didn't control that puck very well. He didn't know where it was. I mean, he's never had a puck come off his pad so hard in his life. But then all of a sudden, it's like three soldiers jumping on the grenade. You have three Hurricanes just diving in to the front of the goal crease trying to knock that puck out because the goaltender doesn't know where it is. And they did that all night, protecting the net, blocking shots. Yeah. And I said yesterday,
so well.
You're trained to get out of the way, let the goaltender see it. Not that night. We're getting in the way. We've got to block as many shots as we can. So that was interesting.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, Scott Foster was pretty good. Scott Foster was the accountant who went in Florida and played really well, won the game there, didn't let in a single goal. That's only a couple of years ago or a few years ago now.
You got accountants.
Zamboni drivers.
Last night, where was it, Florida, that a pizza delivery guy was the third?
Well, see, and now everybody is going to want to know, and they're almost going to be on the media kit, who the emergency backup goaltender is. So that's interesting. Clarky, let me know when we got Richie, okay? Richie Sutter is going to join us here on the program here shortly. He's our NHL insider from Calgary.
I love it.
But Arash Madani had a great tweet, and he's going to join us this week on the program. He tweeted about football and about this goaltending situation, and he said, if Patrick Mahomes or Matt Moore, you know, got hurt, it's not going to be the caretaker, the groundskeeper who comes in to throw the footballs. Like, it's crazy, right? But where are you at with the whole status of the game and what this means for the game? Is it embarrassing for the game of hockey that you have to have a guy like this come in? Because I look at it in football, correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd have a receiver come and play quarterback, or a running back would play quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And would hand the ball off, would make some throws. Somebody who played quarterback in college, likely, right? If it's the Riders, it'd be probably somebody like Nick Marshall.
I'm willing to bet that on most CFL or NFL teams, there's probably a handful of guys that have played quarterback at the high school level, or it wouldn't be completely foreign to them to get in there. And they do have guys that practice running like vanilla plays.
And the wildcat formation's bigger and things like that.
Yeah.
But you don't have that in hockey.
Nope.
Right? You know, like, you specialize at a fairly young age. If you're a goaltender, you're a goaltender. So and also you're not gonna sit there and take, you know, 25 minutes to say, okay, Morgan Riley, you're going in to change. and now you got to put on the pads and come out, and you've never played goal before?
Do you hear what Kelly Rudy said?
No.
He said that in L.A., they used to have Charlie Huddy once in a while put on the pads and go in. And Kelly said that you might find this hard to believe, but he was actually pretty good. Like nobody had any, you know, they weren't so delusional to think that, well, we need to win this game, put Charlie in goal. But he could make saves, and he's actually pretty good. He could handle the puck well. He could kick pucks into the corner. Like, he was good enough that it wouldn't be full on, like, oh, my God, what do we do now mode, like right. They were on Saturday night. But here's something to your point that I was thinking about. You know what this has kind of shown me? It's shown me that for years I've thought that pitching in baseball, quarterbacking in football, and goaltending in hockey are all kind of a lot, sort of the same.
Yep.
This guy's in control of the game sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that now.
Right.
Because you could never in a million years put the Domino's pizza guy out and tell him to go pitch for the Yankees in an emergency situation. Like, I mean, there would be zero chance. You could spot him a 20-run lead.
He's not getting off the field.
There's no way.
Right.
Okay? If you went in football and said, okay, we're going to have the guy that works at, you know, IKEA, he's going to go win. Because he played some quarterback 15 years ago. Go put him in. It's not even worth talking about.
Right.
But in hockey, I've learned now that you could put a 42-year-old Zamboni driver that played some hockey back in the day. And as long as he doesn't just blatantly screw everything up, the game is controlled in front of him.
Yeah.
The pitcher is the first line.
He's the linchpin.
He's throwing.
And it's a lot different in hockey.
The quarterback takes every snap.
It's a lot different in hockey if you or I got to go out and play defense or play forward.
Yeah, that's different.
We might get killed.
Yeah.
Literally get killed.
Right.
Right?
So as important as goaltending, and I'm not trying to minimize how important it is, because like the old saying, it's 75% of the game until you don't have it, and then it's 100%. But I'm changing my thinking on that, because they're the last line of defense. So theoretically, if you had
they play with an empty net, right?
We've seen it now. A 42-year-old Zamboni driver who's played a little goalie back in the day, if he can just be that board and just kind of turn your body and move your body and be square to the puck and just don't kick out a bunch of rebounds, he doesn't have to make a lot of reflex saves if the five guys playing in front of him are so damn good that they can just make it so that they can't shoot.
Yeah.
It's not the complete end of the world.
Well, they play with an empty net in the final minute quite often. In football, you play with the Wildcats sometimes. In baseball, you can't play without a pitcher. Clark, can you put Alan's comment back up? Alan's comment was pretty good. Actually, this is kind of creative. You're not going to do this in the NHL. But hockey promotional game here. Emergency goaltender bobblehead night. If it's a sellout, then he gets to play. That sounds like the you call it league. Remember when you had the guys on the couch were calling the plays?
Yeah, marketing genius.
Yes. There's our intern, Alan Lee.
I love it.
Norway calling. We've got a comment from Trent in Norway. He said, Oilers won the trade day. Hail the Zamboni driver. And may the Rush sell out on the weekend. Go Rod Peterson show. You're going to the Rush game.
Yep.
So there you go. Let me make sure. Do you got your tickets?
Did you get them yet? They were sent to me electronically
good.
Or something like
that. We got you your tickets, so you're going to the game. Rush are on the floor this weekend, so we're looking forward to that. Do you want me to break first? All right. We're going to break first, and then we're going to go to Calgary and join Rich Sutter. I think that's where he is anyway. We're going to talk about the NHL trade deadline day and a little bit more. And further to your comment, actually, before we go, this will be really quick.
I love it.
The question you asked on Twitter regarding the goaltender, you said, for Leaf fans, and honestly, is this rock bottom?
Yeah.
The 5 to 10 year period, is this rock bottom? And I say, no, not even close.
Really?
We're in a playoff spot. It's not rock bottom. Now.
No, not the season, but the humiliation of that game.
Yes. So I will say this. Most humiliating moment, probably.
Yeah, that's kind of what
the Vesa Toskala goal, that's pretty humiliating too. The one that bounced from the other goal line and bounced over his pad and in. Most humiliating, probably, is it rock bottom? No, it's just a one-off. but it is very humiliating. All right, we got a break. Rich Sutter on the other side. We're having fun this morning. Fill up your coffee.
I love it.
We're having Caliber coffee this morning, and you can join us in the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That and more on the other side. The Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show here on a Tuesday as we welcome you back in. I'm Darren DuPont. Rod's still away in Mexico, but he'll be back with us next week, and Kelly Rempel alongside today helping keep this boat above water, at least for now. We're having fun. Well, we're trying.
We always have fun.
We got hot coffee. And
we've really sunk our teeth in this David Ayers thing.
I know.
I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's just one of those stories that let's put it this way. It's you'll never forget the game, you'll never forget where you were when you watched the game type of moment.
Won't. As we right? Know, and a great opportunity to bring in one of our NHL insiders. This is Rich Sutter, who's, I think, joining us from Calgary. Is that where we find you, Rich? Or are you on the road?
I'm in Lethbridge.
Oh, you're in Lethbridge. Okay. So you're in Lethbridge. Yeah. That's perfect. Well, where were you Saturday night? Because I was in Saskatoon calling the Blades game against the Swift Current Broncos. They won the game 8-1, but it was kind of awkward because I'm sitting there, you know, getting all the tweets about this David Ayers thing, and I got to watch. So I'm watching it kind of here on my phone while I'm trying to watch and call the game doing color commentary to the point where, you know, I'm doing the game with Les Lazarick and, you know, you're kind of like getting caught. When the whistle goes, I'm like, I got to say something here. And I haven't been watching for the last 2 minutes because it was so entertaining. So what do you make of the whole David Ayers thing here a couple of days later?
Well, it's actually, it was pretty crazy, wasn't it? To tell you the truth, it caught the whole world, hockey world's eye in a heartbeat. It was scary because I'm sure it hit, you know, the tweets that started going out immediately. A good friend of mine, Rod Brindamore, is a coach. And all he had to do was look at Rod when he looked off to the right side of the bench, thinking that, okay, well, maybe Reimer's coming back or maybe Mrazek's coming back. But when he saw David Ayers come out, the look on his face, he just went.
You got to be kidding me.
Like, okay, like, really? Is this actually happening? he was floored. I talked to him yesterday. He was absolutely floored by it. How many years have we ever seen this happen? Has it ever happened? I don't think it has. But either way, it was a credit to him, David, to thank God he's been stopping pucks for the Marlies and the Leafs for a few years. And I think that it was a feather in the team's cap in a sense that, look, it showed he put a challenge out to his players. It was, look, play defense, protect this guy. Right. Don't do it at the expense of not you know, trying to score some goals still on your own side of the puck. But I think it's a pat in the back to the whole group, not just what David Harris did, because how that club surrounded him with sound defense and basically held Toronto at, what, 10 or 11 shots?
10.
Yeah.
He stopped 8 of 10, 10, you know?
And he allowed the first two, didn't he not?
Yeah, first two shots.
First went in. So, Richie, here's a question for you.
I was watching the game when I went, oh, my God, the first two went. I said, oh my God, this is cool. Bugger's going to be for a long last. That's what Toronto fell asleep. And you know what? Typical of kind of microcosm what the whole year's been all about.
Well, Rich, I'd be curious to, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, because it's kind of unfair sometimes to ambush people with questions where they might have to think back 30 years to come up with an example. But I was, when I was watching this game, I was thinking of a game, a junior hockey game that I watched about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago in Moose Jaw, where the Warriors were ravaged by injuries and the guys with the flu. And now all of a sudden they're playing in a game where they got two forwards that have to go back and play defense, and guys that are never used to getting 20 and 25 minutes a game are having to play like every second shift. And it was amazing to see that team like literally empty every ounce of sweat that they had to rally each other in order to overcome an almost impossible situation. And so when I'm watching that game, I'm thinking, you know, as much as it's easy to sort of laugh at the Toronto Maple Leafs, which it is, I mean, let's be honest, a 42-year-old Zamboni driver, I mean, come on. But the one thing that's kind of flown over under the radar is what you just talked about. Have we given enough credit to one of the most amazing defensive performances and hardworking, gritty, gutsy efforts that what the Carolina Hurricanes did? Have you ever seen anything that you could think of that would compare in all of your years where you played in a situation where guys had to like come up with some sort of miraculous character win like that? Like, I haven't.
No, not either, Kelly. And that's what makes it even more remarkable and a feel-good story for David Harris, is that, you know, look, this guy was capable of stopping pucks. He's done that. He has played to a degree some competitive hockey, but he's been facing NHL shooters and American League shooters for the last few years in practices, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a month. So he had a little bit of a one-up on other guys that would be sitting in the buildings and other rinks, wanting to get into a game, but he had a leg up on a lot of the other guys. But the biggest thing is the work of the group around him, how they embraced the challenge. Yeah. And how thrilled they were to do it. And to me, it was just the excitement to see how happy they were after the game. Look, you don't get that coverage inside locker rooms post-games that you got that night. No reason why, because of the situation. And it really gave the fans a real insight to what goes on, you know, once the players leave the ice, down the hallway, into the locker room. It's something that the average fan doesn't get to see, and especially don't get to see at Hockey Night Canada.
Yeah, the last time this happened, Torrey Coughlin reminds us of the Scott Foster in Chicago when they're playing against the Winnipeg Jets. I think it was back in 2018, and he stopped 7 shots, you know, to preserve the win. I think he's an accountant, right? I mean, yeah, accountant and amateur ice hockey goaltender.
I guarantee you, and Rich, maybe this is a question for you too, but sorry to jump in, Darren, but right to pick up on what you're saying, I just think this time though, Rich, there's gonna be changes there. Like, this has got so much attention. Brian Burke went off on Hockey Night in Canada, and even though I kind of thought he kind of popped the balloon and was maybe a little harsh on the guy, he is right. I mean, it's kind of, isn't there anybody within 50 miles of these cities that are real goalies that play real, like, good competitive hockey? Like, I just think that this time, Rich, it got so much attention that it's going to force governors and owners and general managers in the offseason to say, we kind of got to change the way we're doing this. Like, it worked out this time, but what if he'd have got torched for 15? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. But I think there's also a lot of cities too, Kelly, like where I can use Calgary as an example. I can use Vancouver as an example. Look, we have the equivalent of NCAA hockey in Canada, which is CIS hockey. And I think there's a lot of goalies in CIS hockey that are very good goalies.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the performance at Ryland Toth, who's a Saskatoon boy, stopped, I don't know, how many shots over the weekend upset U of A in the Canada West. You know, they're going into Saskatoon this weekend. So what I'm saying is that there are cities that actually do have quality goalies sitting in the press box at night watching the games. I guess their gift to this is they get a ticket or a pass to sit upstairs, watch the game. And if there's an injury, then they go downstairs. If they go downstairs, then they get paid $500 to dress. I don't know what they would have gotten to play. Obviously, Harris is going to probably get something nice from Carolina. He should get it from the players without a doubt. I know if I was the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes, I would have said, okay, guys, $200 or $300 spot, you know, pass the cap around after the game because, hey, the guy got them 2 points. So, But back to what you're thinking about where this should go, I think there's definitely going to be dialogue. There's going to be conversation. There's going to be where do we go with this? I just think that if you're going to continue to do what you're doing, you got to make sure, like you said, there's quality goaltenders sitting in the stands or in the press box to help out if needed.
Yeah, absolutely. An interesting story. We love following it. Rich Sutter is our NHL insider joining us this morning from Lethbridge. Rich, NHL trade deadline yesterday, Calgary. In that race, right, trying to make sure that they can get into the playoffs, a team that's had to deal with some injuries, they make two moves to bring in defensemen. The biggest move out of all of them was probably Gustafson, the defenseman out of Chicago. But how do you make how do you evaluate the way that Brad Treliving and the Calgary Flames handled the deadline?
You know, I think with Brad, he based on what it is, he upgraded to a degree depth in what these guys can bring, experience. You know, Derek Forbort has got good experience, played a lot of quality minutes with Drew Doughty. Is going to be an important player moving forward for this group. Eric Gustafson will definitely boost, I would believe, their power play. He's not the greatest defensively, but the guy's a world-class skater. He's a puck mover. He's a playmaker. And I think really well for them.
Of the teams, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, you know, Calgary making a couple of moves. Vancouver had kind of done their work before, and now they've got, you know, some questions in goal with Markstrom potentially out. Edmonton, you know, it's safe to assume they had the best day out of everyone, and Winnipeg made a couple of small moves before. Who do you like and who don't you like now of those groups as maybe we start to see the cream separate?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, Vancouver had to do something, obviously something they didn't think about, have to make a move for a goalie. Obviously with Markstrom, it's going to be 3 to 4 weeks. Dominguez is going to definitely have to come in and play some games. Now's the time to see what their defense is all about, how well they're going to play in front of their goalies. Edmonton made the moves, basically more depth than anything. So Winnipeg's hands were tied a little bit. So you look at the teams out west, they did the best they could do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. The one last thing I want to ask you about, Patrick Marleau gets dealt to Pittsburgh. He's going to get another shot at a Stanley Cup. He did go to Toronto to kind of be a part of that group, but back to San Jose. Now he gets another shot at it. Joe Thornton does not, although he may be expressed that it might be exciting, the thought of going after a Stanley Cup, but he's never left San Jose ever since he got there all those years ago from Boston. What do you make about that, you know, Joe sticking around, maybe not getting the opportunity?
Well, you come down to, was there a want out there, a need out there from another team that where they figured, you know, what kind of a job or what kind of a contribution Joe could make to their hockey club? Obviously, there was more a higher thought and a higher need in terms of Patrick Marleau. That's why he was dealt. It would have been nice to see Joe go maybe back to Boston, but I don't know what Boston was thinking, what their needs were.
Yeah.
As for Patty, I think it's exciting as heck because he grew up as a little boy in Foam Lake area or Anoray. That he, look, this guy was a Pittsburgh Penguin fan growing up, and he gets to go and play for the Pittsburgh Penguins at the end of his career. He would have never dreamt of that in 1,000 years. And so I think when that opportunity came up, I'm sure he was spoke to by Doug Wilson and said, look, do you want to do this? Do you want to go there? Hey, for 3 or 4 months, it's well worth it to go and see what he can do. And hopefully, for his sake, they can win a cup, but we'll see.
I love a good story, Rich, and that would be a good one. Appreciate your time.
Would be for sure.
Hey, if I can give you anything, maybe go put on some Paw Patrol. That'll take care of the kids. That works for my nieces and nephews.
I got my little guy. I get to see him about once every 2 weeks. My oldest daughter's little guy, so he's thrilled to see his papa. That's what he's saying, Papa, let's go do something.
Let's go. I've taken enough of your time. Enjoy it.
No, listen, I'm thrilled, guys. I'm glad to get on the air with you guys, and hopefully we'll do it soon.
Good stuff. Nothing like family. Appreciate that, Rich. Rich Sutter joining us from Lethbridge this morning. Yeah, that's awesome. And
what a good man.
Comment of the day goes to Alan Lee. Our intern, Alan Lee. The kid's crying in the background, and he comes up here and says, do I hear Leafs fans in the background? Oh, Alan, you're dialed in. You're learning quick. That's awesome. Comment of the day.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about a good sense of humor. You Leaf fan. Is everybody in the works here a Leaf fan? Got you,
no,
Clark?
Just me and Clark.
Jeez.
I know. Couple minutes left. Where do you want to go with this?
I'm a Viking fan. I really shouldn't comment.
Wow.
Where do I want to go with this? Jeez, I don't know.
What didn't we get to that you wanted to get to?
I'm trying to think if there was anything. I'm glad you asked me about the David. I could talk about it for 10 hours. It's fascinating to me.
Yep.
For so many different reasons and so many different ways. I know it's been kind of, now it's been almost beaten to death. I might be the only person in Western Canada that could talk about it anymore without feeling like, okay, enough is enough. But even just thinking about David and his wife getting, his wife tweeted the plane ticket that the team sent him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be at the game tonight. It's tonight, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think it's tonight. It's tonight or tomorrow. And they will tear the house down.
They're home to Dallas tonight.
They are. That building will be wildly loud.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the governor, for crying out loud, of Carolina has said something to the effect of, we've got to make this guy, the mayor or somebody like that.
David Ayres Day.
The governor and the mayor have weighed in on it. And I think the mayor was the one that said, we got to call it, we got to give this guy his own day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Cinderella story that we'll never forget.
Yeah. And you had it is. We'll never forget it. That was on Saturday. And then on Sunday, you made a surprise trip to Moose Jaw for the Scotty semi.
I did.
In the morning. How awesome was that?
I enjoyed it. You know, like, full disclosure, okay? I'm not the kind of guy that would want to go to the Scotties or the Briar, like, every game.
Right.
I find that I actually can dial in a lot more when it's on TV. And I don't know the game of curling well enough that, I guess I enjoy listening to Vic Router and the broadcast.
Rush Hour,
yeah. Because I feel like they're 2 and 3 moves ahead, right?
Yep.
So they're going to tell you how the end is unfolding and what's likely to happen before it even happens. Well, I wouldn't figure some of that stuff out on my own.
Right.
So I enjoy watching the games on TV. You get the best shot. You follow the rock all the way down the ice.
Because you know what's coming. And that's part of it. It's like, okay, she's going to try this. And when they line up the broom, as soon as they line up and decide, those guys know, okay, here's what she's trying. And they're like, oh my God, how is she ever going to make that? So the whole time down, you're like on the edge of your seat. But when you're live, you really don't know what's coming. So you're like, okay, I got to wait till, I'm going to sit here and wait till it finishes before I figure out what they were trying.
But as a, you, no, exactly. But as a fan of live sport,
oh yeah,
I'd been away all week. My family and I were in Banff, and I've been watching the games. I mean, I wasn't watching every single game by any means, but I was watching, you know, the games when I could on TSN, right? And when I got home Friday night, watched a little bit of the games on Saturday, and it's in Moose Jaw, for crying out loud. It's right in my own backyard.
You gotta go.
My hometown. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think I'm going to make the drive, grab a coffee, just nice relaxing drive. I enjoy that drive to Moose Jaw anyway. I think I'm going to go check out the game.
Yep.
And I'm glad I did. It was great.
Last thing I'll tell you before we let you go, because we're old for on hour one here. We got an unnamed texter texting on the Prairie Mobile text line. 306-840-8777 says, this guy would beat the Leafs, and sends us a picture. It's Dennis Lemieux. Denny Lemieux from the Charlestown Chiefs.
He love her.
Yeah. So
he tell me. I love her.
This guy would beat the Leafs. This has been fun, Cal. Thanks for coming
Denny
in.
Denny Lemieux.
Thanks for coming in.
All right. Always fun. All always right. fun.
We got a break. Hour one in the books. Hour two on the way with some more hockey talk for sure. We'll go out to Edmonton and Vancouver. Dustin Nielsen and James Cebulski on the way in hour two. Big thanks to Rich Sutter and to the Silver Fox for joining me here on the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.